If you would, in your Bibles today, turn to James chapter 1, right after Hebrews there, and we'll look at some verses. And, you know, today's sermon is about joy in your life. And I guess I could ask you, are you joyful today? Do you have God in your life? And if you do, by golly, you're going to be able to face that fire that comes against you, okay? But you notice I didn't say, are you happy? Because there is a difference for the Christian, because happiness can make you feel good, but joy can get you through everything that comes against you, all the trials and tribulations of this world. So let's look at James chapter 1. I'm going to read it verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Okay? I was reading about this, and I looked in Matthew Henry, and he put it best. One Christian grace to be exercised is joy. You know, we have the fruits of the Spirit, you know, peace, love, joy, and all that gentleness. But we must not sink into a sad and disconsolate frame of mind, which would make us faint under our trials. There is the more reason for joy in afflictions if we consider the other graces that were promoted by them. Well, you know, it's great to have laughter. And I read this one thing about laughter. It said, it's been proved that laughter decreases stress hormones, and increases immune cells and infection-fighting antibodies, which improves your resistance to disease. It triggers the release of endorphins, which are the body's natural feel-good chemicals. These produce an overall sense of well-being and contemporarily relieve pain. So today we're going to talk about joy, but also make room for some laughter. And Pete said he'd help me out a little bit with that today. So Pete, you have something for us today?
Oh, dude.
Mm-hmm. That's a laugh right there, yeah. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Well, thank you, Pete. Okay. You know, it's really great to laugh, you know, and as you know, the last few weeks I haven't had a very good time and couldn't even come up front last week because of what was happening in my life. And, you know, but this past few weeks, with all the sadness, we also had some joy. And the one great thing of joy we had was the Saturday before my brother passed. We were able to pick him up and put him in a four-wheeler and take him out into the woods. We went out to visit my cabin and got to see and talk for a while, my brother and I, Jim and Jerry and I. And that was really, really a joyful time, because he didn't know it then. It was his last time in the woods, which, you know, he dearly loved. But and then that was on a Saturday. And then Monday, Barb and I, we went to Lake Erie to be with my daughter and her family. And like I said, when Craig asked me what I'm going to do at Lake Erie, I said, I'm going to play, you know. And we did. We played for 3 days and had a good time. And we came home Wednesday, and Jerry was still doing okay. But Thursday, I went golfing. And, of course, I always have fun golfing. Well, almost always, anyway. But anyway, it was having a good day, and was coming home and stopped to eat at a restaurant, and I got a phone call. And he wasn't doing good. And within 12 hours, he was gone. And I had sadness. But I had joy. Because Jerry was not going to be a burden to anybody. And if you knew my brother, he was a little bit stubborn. And he worried me a little bit, because he said, I'm not going to be a burden on anybody, especially my wife. And he wasn't. God took care of it. Within just a day and a half, he was okay, and then he was gone. And, you know, that's just like God, to be able to take care of a problem, and he wasn't going to suffer like, you know, some ALS patients do. So, you know, sadness is an emotion that we try to limit in our lives. But as Christians, even when we're sad, we can have joy in the knowledge that we have a God that loves us and takes our burdens away. And he's done that for me, because, you know, he's there. And you all know me. I'm an emotional person, you know, and I wear those emotions right here on my sleeve. And, you know, but you also know that I'm usually smiling, and I don't let anything worry me. That's one thing that I just give it all to God. I try to have a positive view on life, and I've even had people wonder how I can be so happy. I used to work with a guy, and he would get mad at me. You know, I was always whistling and doing stuff, and he, why are you doing that? You're bothering me, you know. You're all so happy. And I said, well, I've got happiness in my life, you know. And I always say that I've got someone who takes care of all my worries and allows me to focus on my life and have joy in all that I do. But, you know, enough of me. I need to talk to you today about how you can work on having that joy in your life that allows you to face the world. So let's open our Bibles to Philippians, if you would. And we're going to look at chapter 4. And, you know, there used to be a song that you heard all the time. And I'm going to whistle it for you. And if you know how to respond to this song, I want you to respond. If I can make myself whistle. I can't whistle. Don't worry, be happy, right? Okay. And that was always, you know, you heard it, you felt it, you know, it was something that made you feel good, wasn't it? You know, you hear that come on the radio, and don't worry, be happy, you know. And there used to be this little video that we always passed around, had this little turtle sitting on a log in the forest. And he would say, he had this song, he'd say, I'm a happy boy, I'm a happy boy. Ain't it great when things are going your way, hey, you know. And that always made me feel good, you know. So, you know, we we have happiness in our lives, and there's things that brings us joy. But let's look in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But what do you think about that? Is it possible to always rejoice? Maybe not all the time. But, you know, it's if you're rejoicing in the fact that the Lord is in control of everything in your life, then, you know, you can still have that joy in your heart, even though you might be having some tears rolling down your cheeks. And verse 6 says that we should not worry about anything, that we should just turn it over to God. And God will give you a peace which will be hard to understand. You won't even think you have a problem, and your heart will be at ease. You have to remember that Paul wrote this while he was in prison, and he didn't even know if he was going to get out of there alive, okay? And over in Philippians chapter 2, if you look at that, verse 17 and 18, it says, yea, Paul says, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy, and I rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice in me. Okay? And he added to that over in chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am in this to be content. I know both how to be humble, to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he said that wonderful verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I take that seriously. Okay? All right. So can you apply these thoughts in your life and allow yourself to abound everywhere in all things? Like I told Craig last week, I truly believe that I can face anything that comes into my life with the knowledge that there is someone walking with me to guide me and direct my path. And when you get to that point in your Christian walk, you can truly face everything or anything. Now you know that I've had many wonderful adventures. Some of them would make some people cringe. But there's one that happened, and Brian's got a picture of this one. I was out in Zion National Park, and I arrived there late Saturday evening and slept in on the side of the road outside the gate because it was closed. And I drove into Zion on Sunday morning, and I got into the campground, and the town was just out the gate there, you know, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go out the gate here, and I'm going to find a church and go to church. So I'm talking to some people there, and you know, I didn't get much information on a church, but somebody said, well, why don't you go to Angel's Landing? And I thought, that sounds like the perfect place for Sunday. And so this is Angel's Landing right here that you're looking at right now. And it's been called one of the most dangerous hikes in America. And as a matter of fact, there was a little 13-year-old girl who died this past year, I think it was. But anyway, you have to know me. I grew up, I was afraid of heights. Not as bad as Craig is, but I was afraid of heights until I built my house and was sitting on the edge of the roof 30 feet in the air and putting the rafters on, and that helped me to get over my fear of heights. So I went out this little ridge that you see there that goes out to the top of Angel's Landing, which once you get to the top, it's a 2,500-foot straight drop. Okay, and one spot out there about halfway out that little ridge, it's about this wide. Okay, and there's a 1,400-foot drop on this side and a 900-foot drop on this side. And, you know, there's some chains to hold on to, but, you know, it was just the most joyful time I've ever had because I had no fear. And it was just beautiful, okay? So, you know, anything in your life, you can learn how to face your fears and change how it affects you to the point that it will change your life as you believe what it says in verse 19 there in Philippians chapter 4. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So he will supply all your needs, and he'll let you live joyfully because, you know, we're all on an adventure, and wherever your adventure takes you, you need to grow and be able to enjoy it. You need to lose those fears and be able to enjoy that view from whatever mountain that you come into in your life, or those mountains sometimes that, you know, have you fearful. Maybe you can overcome them and, like I say, be able to enjoy them. And the progression that you will make in your life is kind of like another adventure I'm on right now, as I'm building a log cabin in the woods. And Brian's got a picture of my cabin that I took just the other day. And I'm building this little cabin in the woods. And, you know, it's coming along pretty good. But when I started out, you know, I first time I ever did this, okay, just trying it. And some of the logs, they had some gaps, about a half inch, you know. And as I moved along and got the logs over on this side and around the corner, I learned how to make it to where the gaps weren't as bad. And there's just little tiny cracks that I'm going to have to seal up. So, you know, we gain knowledge. And that's why we're here to gain knowledge to help us with our life, okay? And, you know, as we gain that knowledge, as we progress in our Christian life, we'll learn how to fit our life together and get rid of those gaps that you know, the fears, the pain, to get rid of that in our life, you know, make us more joyful, and those gaps will begin to disappear. And I think of little Owen, and I think of Modesta there, and even Braxton, and Mason, who have recently accepted Christ and are beginning a new adventure in their lives. And that's going to require some growth in their faith and their trust in God. And, you know, that's where we come in. We need to help them. We need to walk with them and give them a little bit of our faith. Show them what faith can do for your life. Faith's done a lot for me in my life. And it'll increase their joy as they experience Christ and learn more about Christ. So sharing our joy is one of the best ways we can show non-believers what Christianity is. And I'll give you this little test. As when you leave here today, wherever you go, whatever you do, okay, I got a little game you can play. All right? Go out and smile. All right? And if you smile, you get 10 points, all right? But if you make somebody else smile, well, then you get 50 points, all right? And just play that game all day or wherever you're at. But if you make somebody laugh, which Pete's really good at, you get 100 points, okay? So play that game today and this week, and hopefully it'll help you to be more joyful. So turn back to Philippians chapter 1, if you would. And we're going to jump around a little bit here, coming up here. But in Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, I look at Paul and how he shared his joy, okay? And he shared it with his people with these letters that he wrote to the churches. And to the people in Philippi, he said, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." He had joy, right? He's. And I want you to have this joy. Peace to you. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine, you are all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. Verse 8 says, for God is my witness, how greatly I long after you all in the tender mercies of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And of course, one of those great fruits that we should have in our lives is joy. Okay? And if we can just have that kind of confidence that Paul had toward the people that he loved in this church, that he was sending this letter to, and use that here in this church, well, you know, we'll be able to support each other and grow the fruit of the Spirit of joy. And I think of the different people that Paul's letter touched, and then I think of all the different people, you know, that we have here in this church, or even in our lives. And just like the church at Philippi, we fellowship in the gospel, and we all have a common hope. And we all have the unity that, again, in Philippians here, turn to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, it talks about unity. And this is a scripture that Craig uses any time that we have a meeting to discuss the business of the church. We pretty much always start out with this scripture. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through the strife of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Well, you know, being like-minded and of one accord is the best way to create an attitude of joy. You don't have any problem with anybody. And even some people that, you know, I have problems with, you've got people in your life you have problems with, right? That doesn't mean you have to have a problem, that you can't communicate with them, that you can't interact with them. You know, some people will not even talk to some family members, you know, because of something that happened, which didn't mean a thing, probably. But, you know, it's something that that they have in their life, and I'll call that a pain, you know. I'll have the whole that a fire. If anything that caused you, you know, to not feel good, you know, is one of those things. So I think it's the greatest thing about this church that allows everyone here to feel at home, where they can be comfortable because, you know, there's no strife. We've got unity here, and that's a great thing. So turn over to John chapter 10, if you would. We'll look at John chapter 10. And, you know, like I say, Paul was pretty confident. He was confident that the people in Philippi would do good work, and I believe that we can be confident that we can continue the good work we're doing here, even though we'll be facing a few trials, and we were talking about that earlier. We've got a few trials and tribulations coming at us because, you know, Craig and Marilyn are going to be leaving, and but we faced a few trials. We also have Keith and Mary Lou leaving. And we faced some trials there because, you know, Keith, my goodness, Keith has done so much for this church. And doing the treasury the way he did it was really hard to replace. But we've worked through that, and we're making that happen, okay? So we need to do that. But let's look in chapter 10, John, verses 27 through 29. Let's see here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, verse 28 offers us the security of our faith that should bring us much joy. Think of it this way. Somebody's drowning in the water. And, you know, they're splashing around, trying to stay up, trying to keep their head above the water. And they still do that, even though a lifeguard comes to save them. And can even cause the lifeguard to lose his life if they keep fighting him the way that they do. So, we have a rescuer for us. And when Jesus grabs you, which he grabbed Modesta here not too long ago, and he won't let you go. He won't let you perish. And I'm going to ask you to turn over to Romans 8 while I work here. But anyway, in Romans 8, we need to understand the security that we have because we have a Savior. And if we look at Romans after chapter 8, if you want to turn there, I'll go ahead and read it for you. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We're free from that fire there that's not going to pop our balloon, okay? If you want to look at it that way. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, are you walking in the Spirit, after the Spirit? And if you are, you can be joyful that you will be free from the law of sin and death. And that makes Romans 8:28 all the more powerful in removing any fear that we may have about anything in this world. And you all could say it here. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things work together, even death. I look at it that way. Even if we die, that's a good thing because we're going to be with him. And we look over in chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, if you got that in your life, if you got that water inside of you, protecting you, okay, then you know that everything in your life is going to be okay. There isn't anything that can come against you that will separate you from the love of God. I've got one of those shirts that says, no fear, okay? I don't know how many of you here have that, but that's the way Christians should act. We should be able to face up to anything that comes against us. Sure, we'll have sad times, and there may be problems in our lives. But we must realize just who is on our side and trust that he will overcome anything that comes against us. But we have to trust him. And that's a joy. That's a great joy for us in our life. That's a wonderful joy. But then you have laughter. Pete, you got something else for us? I feel good because I've got God in my heart. But I like to laugh. So, Pete, please, if you would.
Now, let's see. This will preach something else. She says, well, now, he said, what made you say that? She said, you sure ain't the preacher.
Well, thank you, Pete. I know you got to leave. Pete's got to do his radio show today, so if you have to leave right now, I kind of pushed the envelope on. He wanted to be out of here pretty soon. But, all right. Yeah, you're something else. You're not a preacher. I like that. Okay. So how do we get that joy that then take away those fears? The fear of heights, the fear of darkness. There's a lot of fears that people have in their lives. One thing we can do is we can pray for each other. And there's nothing wrong. And we know what prayer does, right? We pray for others all the time. But there's nothing wrong with praying for joy in your life, for yourself, okay? Once you start concentrating on your joy, then your joy will spread to others. Psalm 118:24 says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Each and every day brings the chance for a new start, a chance to let go of the troubles or problems and begin again. We have to strive to find joy in new ways and use that to get rid of those cracks in our life. And we might not make it to perfection, but we'll be able to smile and enjoy the ride. So John 16:24 tells us that until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Well, if you have any troubles that you want to let go of, there's no better place to do it than on your knees. And you need to know that you can make the same decision Modesta made. When I'll never forget that when you said, it's a great day. She had a great day. And you all remember that day when you made that decision to follow Christ? What a great day that was. I was he worked on me for a while. And I was finally in a beautiful place in Puerto Rico when I made that decision to follow him. But I remember a couple times before that when he was working on me. And you have to get rid of those fears. You have to get rid of that in your life and just give it all to Christ. Okay. So today is the day the Lord has made. Today is the day that we can begin a closer walk with Him. A walk that will have you rejoicing no matter what life throws your way. And I'd like to close with what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. And you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We should all be able to say amen to that. There might be one here who is feeling the pain of the fire of life right now. And right now is the time that we need to get that water flowing inside of us, okay? And if you have that water, use that joy inside you and spread it around. And that's protection. That's security. That's our faith. That's our belief. And we like the laughter that a joke can lift our spirits. But if you have the joy of the Lord inside of you, you can change your life and fill your spirit. And get more water inside there, okay? And be more protection, okay? And it's something that will last longer than the laughter of a joke that you hear, okay? So the only thing I say is, why did the chicken cross the road? No, he had to prove to the possum that it could be done. Okay? All right? Let's pray.